Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Me and Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 as well. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And thank you, Rob Cirque, the site founder, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed through the years. Thank you guys. And congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 12 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com, and now added GhostHunting.com, so you can listen at either place, and now on Spreaker, too, is now available, and also wherever you get your podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Today, we welcome Ghost Tour host, author, teacher, storyteller, and songwriter Robert Oakes. Everyone visit robertoakes.net. That's robertoakes.net. Instagram at Robert Oakes Writer. YouTube search Robert Oakes. Robert Oakes titles The Ghosts of the Berkshires and the Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires, Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey, available through Amazon.com. Upcoming, we have Texas Ghost Seekers team founder and clairaudient Alex Fountain will be on the program next weekend, the 13th. Weird New Jersey contributor and paranormal investigator Jim Terrace returns to the show on the 20th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts, so like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We have other guests that are securing their guest spots too. Check out the membership packages here on Live Paranormal. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, he's great at rewarding the members here on Live Paranormal. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, all autographed. And also check out the vendors here on Live Paranormal. And tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here. Chip copy of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and Kindred Spirits. He's here as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, free archived MP4 iTunes downloads are available on the homepage of Live Paranormal immediately following the broadcast. Let's bring on the host here. Sophia, congratulations on over 12 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com and also too on ghosthunting.com.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been over 12 years.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job, Sophia. You've helped a lot of people through the years, a lot of families with experiences and things. You got all these pages, the Instagram and stuff. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name's too long.
Yeah, we cursed you with a really long name. Good thing your middle name's not in there too as well. Well, tell us about your guest, Sophia.
Today we welcome Ghost Tour host, author, and storyteller Robert Oakes. Everyone visit robertoakes.net, Instagram at Robert Oakes Writer, YouTube Robert Oakes, and you can check out his books, Ghosts of the Berkshires, The Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires, and Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey, available on Amazon.com. Let's welcome Robert into the show.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You do such interesting work within the paranormal. I mean, you go to some really cool locations. Can you tell the audience what initially sparked this interest for the paranormal?
Yeah, it's interesting. I always say that the ghosts found me because what happened was I lived in Western Massachusetts in Berkshire County, and I was aware of this of the Mount, which was the home of author Edith Wharton, and I had heard some stories about it being haunted. I very innocently answered an ad. They were looking for some tour guides to help out at the end of their fall season one year. I went there and applied and just became a tour guide, and it was that season that they began offering their ghost tours, and they began to sort of really make a thing out of all of the reports that have been filed at the Mount over the years. I went on a ghost tour, and I became completely drawn in by it. I was pretty affected actually by the tour. It kind of knocked me literally on the floor at one point just by how much I could feel about the place. Between the stories that they told, the experiences that people have had, the things that I was feeling while I was on the tour. And it really drew me in. I became fascinated with, like, how did this affect me this way, and what is it about this place, and why does so many people have stories about this place, that I became kind of fascinated with it, and I began to look, become more involved with the ghost tours, and over the years, that became sort of my main job there was leading the tours and sharing those reports with other people. And then that sort of led to an opportunity to write a book about the different haunted locations in Berkshire County.
Yeah, I mean, I had pretty recently done some, research on the Mount, and it really is amazing. It's such a big house, such a mansion, and, just the different, ways that the Mount has kind of changed. Wasn't it a school at one point as well?
Yeah, the Mount was built in the early 1900s, and it was the home of Edith Wharton, who's the Pulitzer Prize-winning author, wrote Age of Innocence, House of Mirth, Ethan Frome. She only lived there for about 10 years, and then after that, it went through a couple of private owners who lived in it for a period of time. Then it became a girls' boarding school called Fox Hollow School for Girls for about 40 years, and then in the 1970s, it changed hands again and became the home of a local theater group called Shakespeare and Company, who were there for about 30 years before, or 20 years or so before then it became a house museum, which it is today.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. In your personal opinion, what do you think is kind of, obviously went through being a school for girls and then a theater company, do you think that there's a specific spirit that haunts it from any of those time periods, like maybe the ghosts of any of those girls or residual energy like that?
Well, it's interesting, because people assume, Edith Wharton must be one of the ghosts haunting the house, right? And I think that's really only because she's probably the most famous person that lived there. I actually don't think she haunts the house. If anything, the more likely presence would be her husband, Teddy Wharton, who unfortunately was afflicted with some pretty severe mental illness while he was there, became, I think, very attached to the place and was pretty upset about the breakup of their marriage and the sale of the property. And I think there's probably more reason to assume that his spirit would remain attached to it than hers. But over the years, there have been so many reports, so many different kinds of entities and personalities. They talk about a spirit haunting the stable named Charles, who was believed to be Edith Wharton's chauffeur. They talk about a cook in the kitchen haunting one of her servants who haunts the kitchen. But there are other entities that that are reported that don't seem to be human at all. They don't. They seem to be kind of elemental spirits and energies. There's actually such a wide variety of reports and experiences. It's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. I mean, it really is incredible that you got your first experience there. I know when I started in the paranormal, my first investigation and ghost experience, well, at least that I could remember, was on the Queen Mary. So I feel like starting out at Edith Wharton's house is kind of similar when you just have this really big and awesome location to kind of just dive in the deep end.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. And that, I remember that after that first ghost tour, sitting on the floor. I was just, you know, it just hit me so hard, the whole experience. And honestly, I spent a long time after that sort of trying to understand what this was. You know, I wasn't entirely sure about it being even ghosts. It just, something about the presence of the place hit me pretty hard. And I think a lot of times I kind of approach these experiences with that sort of questioning mind of like, wait, what is this? Is this a ghost? What is this experience I'm picking? Am I somehow feeling the energy of the sort of traumatic and troubling experiences that people had while they were living here at all those years ago? Or, you know, it remains kind of an unknown for me, and I don't always know what it is, but I feel a strong presence there for sure.
Absolutely. And I feel like I read somewhere, too, with Edith Wharton, that she actually may have had experiences when she was younger, even before her time at some paranormal experiences that inspired her writing.
Yeah, her own story was part of what really captivated me, like got me really hooked, because, you know, I was an English major in college. I studied Edith Wharton. I studied House of Mirth and Age of Innocence and her you know, best-known novels. They never told me that she wrote ghost stories, that she was fascinated by and phobic about ghosts and ghost stories. Like, that was just something that many people don't even know about Wharton, because she's best known for writing these kind of society novels about the lives of the very wealthy world, you know, people that she knew in her world. This whole idea that she would be a ghost story writer, I think, was something that she was always a little bit cagey about in her own life, because I don't know that she was ever totally comfortable with coming out about it, you know, and, you know, especially because she was so phobic about it. But the story she wrote about herself in her some of her writings, when she was 9 years old, she contracted typhoid and became very, very sick. She was on the road to recovery. She was almost back to full health, and she read a ghost story. She then suffered a relapse of the typhoid. She became very, very sick again. She later recalled that after she read this story, she felt that she had been plunged into a world haunted by formless horrors. She had this feeling that something that she called a dark and indefinable menace was forever following her, was like walking behind her wherever she went. She had this feeling that if she didn't get in a door fast enough, this, whatever this was, would reach up behind her and grab her. And she was terrified of the story, because she believed that the story is what did this to her, that something about reading this ghost story affected her in this way, that she began to have these experiences and feel that her world had changed, that, you know, that that these sort of shadowy things were following her. And it wasn't until her later 20s that she seemed to get past this. She, until that time, she was so phobic about ghost stories that if she knew there was a book of ghost stories in the house, she had to have the book thrown into the fire or she couldn't sleep at night. That's what she said. So,
wow.
She believed that, I think what she wrote was that she had such a sensitive nature that the story impacted her so deeply, you know, that it was like she couldn't really take it. And so she had to be kind of careful about what she read because it affected her so much. But what's so interesting about Wharton is instead of staying away from these stories, at some point she decided to write her own ghost stories. It was like she was saying, this thing that I'm so afraid of, that it's affecting me this way, I'm going to learn how to face this, and I'm going to learn how to do this myself, and began to write her own ghost stories, which I think is pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one thing I always say about the paranormal. I mean, I had experiences when I was a child, but even if I wanted to leave the paranormal today, it's going to always be with me. It's just, you know, it's just something that happened in my life. And no matter if I wanted to just leave the paranormal and go be a normal person, I mean, those experiences stay with you. And I think that's probably what she realized as well. But I think it's so fascinating. And I'm sure you feel the same way as an English major, just the lives of the people that wrote these great stories. You know, they're so fascinating in and of themselves. And I just think it's really remarkable that they created all these things that are world-renowned and known everywhere, but their lives are just as fascinating.
Absolutely. And I think that it was when I started at the Mount that I really began to appreciate what she was doing as an author, as a woman. The world that she was living in was very confining, and there were very strict rules about what women could do, about what you know, about how one conducts oneself, and this idea of writing novels and being a creative artist that she was pretty much unheard of. And it was not encouraged, I think. And I think that she had to sort of overcome some of those limitations and those restrictions she had on her life. But she had to kind of walk this fine line because she never really left it entirely, that world that she was raised in. But at the same time, she's writing these things that are kind of, you know, scandalizing the people that she knew and the world that she was a part of. And she's taking these things that are so fearful to her and are so troubling to her, and she's kind of churning them into stories, into her creative output. And so when you stand there in her bedroom, and you know a little bit about the marital troubles that they were having at the end of their life and how she was, I think, concerned about her husband's mental breakdown. And his room is right next door to hers. And she's in there with all the doors locked. And she's writing, you know, stories about, you know, these shadowy, fearful things. And in the case of Ethan Frome, about, you know, marital problems and all this stuff. I mean, she's living it. And she's turning it into, you know, her writing as a way to kind of cope with it and get through it. I think that's pretty remarkable. And you feel that when you're there. Like, you can feel the reality of it. You can feel that room's right here. This is where he must have been banging on the door that time they had that terrible fight. And she's in here trying to get sanctuary. You know, you can feel all of that still resonating in the place.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is just really incredible, just the story of it all, and that you, like I said, started your experiences there, and from there grew. After your initial experience at the Mount, you have since written books. Please tell the audience about each of your books, too.
Yeah, so what happened was after doing the ghost tours at the Mount for some years, I was approached about the opportunity to write a book about Berkshire County, which is the area of Massachusetts where the Mount is. And I was very excited. I jumped at that chance because it was an opportunity for me to kind of take what I've been doing at the Mount, archiving the stories, sharing people's reports, people's experiences, learning about the history of the place, and then going out to all of these other locations throughout Berkshire County to find out what it is about these places that has inspired so many of these, in some cases similar reports, in some cases very different reports. what is it about these locations that give them that sense of presence that many people have felt over the years and have shared either reports or stories that they've told about the places, and just kind of catalog them and archive them and write a little bit about them. It gave me the chance to go to these places and feel them myself to see what experiences I could have. And it gave me the chance to talk to people about their experiences. And one of the things that I loved about what was happening there was when people found out that I was working on this book about ghosts in the Berkshires, people would approach me and be like, you know, I have a story for you, you know, and they'd start to tell me about something their grandmother once saw or, you know, something that they felt when they were young and that kind of thing. And it's something that I've always experienced doing these ghost tours and writing these books is that it's such a wonderful thing when people feel that they can share these experiences with you, because very often people, you know, they have them, but they don't necessarily talk about them. So it was great to kind of start to chronicle those. That led to, I actually thought it would be wonderful for me because I'm a transplant to the Berkshires. I'm originally from North Jersey. So I thought it would be cool for me to go back to where I'm from. I had lived away from New Jersey at that point for about 20 years and do the same thing down there. You know, look for the locations, talk to people about their experiences, find out what the lore is, and travel around and write about those experiences. And so that led to Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey, which is, I'm now currently in the process of writing Northeastern New Jersey. And then later on, the publisher approached me about doing a young reader's version of the Berkshire book. So that's what Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires is. It's a version, it's kind of an adaptation of Ghosts of the Berkshires. It's written for kind of middle grade readers, and it is illustrated by my wife, Kate.
Well, that's really exciting that you got to work on that with your wife, but also just go back to your hometown too and kind of explore the hauntings there. Through your time talking with people about their experiences or, you know, a family member's experience, what was the most interesting story that you were able to listen to?
In New Jersey or just in general?
Just in general, your favorite story.
My favorite story. This one comes to mind in New Jersey, there's a place that probably you've heard of and your listeners too, is the Sterling Hill Mining Museum in Ogdensburg.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been a zinc mine, and now it's only open as a museum. And it was one of those places that came on my radar pretty early on. It's become very well known as a haunted location. And I reached out to the president of the museum, and he agreed to meet with me. What was funny about that meeting, though, was that as soon as I sat down with him, he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm a scientist, and I don't believe in any of this. And I thought, I guess the interview's over. You know, I didn't really know where this was going. And then he followed it up with, but I have experienced things here that are beyond belief. And I was like, okay, this is really interesting now, because I love the fact that he started that way, that he started with this question of belief. I mean, it's actually something that I talk about all the time when I lead my ghost tours. I always lead off with the question, do you believe in ghosts? Which was something that Edith Wharton herself asked and had this kind of tongue-in-cheek response to, I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm afraid of them. Mm-hmm. And she is talking about how the experience of a ghost is something that goes beyond belief. It's something that isn't something we think about or rationalize. It's something we feel or intuit. And so when this man was saying that to me, I was like, wow, we are in that same space. We're talking about that same thing right now, that this is an experience that even somebody who is dedicated his life to science and, you know, sort of that approach to everything, will unequivocally say is real and is happening, and he's experienced it, but not through thinking about it, not through testing it, but through feeling it. And he invited me to go into the mind, which was the only way you could feel it, right? You have to actually go in and experience it. You can't be talking about it or reading about it or thinking about it. You got to get in there and feel it. And so I did, and I had that experience. I had an experience there. And it's one of those experiences that you can't explain. It doesn't make sense. I was hearing sounds from below. I know that all of the shafts below are filled with water. I know that there's no reason why I should have heard anything, but nevertheless, there were those sounds, you know. You leave that space and you think, I don't know what that was, but I felt something, I heard something, I sensed something, and now I understand something about this place through having had the experience. And there were other things too. This the man that he told me about this man called John Kolick, who had devoted his life to the mine. He worked there for many years, and then he became a guide at the museum, and he was part of preserving the place after they had begun to fill it with water. And he was so devoted to the place. And when he passed away, they made a shrine to him there. And I hadn't really read much about this man before going there. I hadn't heard much about him. But once I was there, it felt to me like, oh, my God, this man is here. This man is here. I could feel that he's here watching over this place. And, again, that was something that I couldn't really feel or know about until I was standing there feeling it, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always amazing when you hear that. Like you said, it transcended his beliefs.
Yes. And I understand that because I've often approached these things with that same kind of mindset where I'm being skeptical and I'm thinking it through and I'm not sure. And it could just be this and it could just be that. You know, that part of my mind is always going. And I actually think that's okay. I think that that's part of what we are. And it's part of how we approach life and any phenomenon that we experience. But I feel, and the same thing happened to me at the Mount, where I felt like there was always this invitation to step aside from that a little bit and feel something, go deep, intuit it, imagine it, feel it somewhere down inside of you instead of thinking about it. And I think that's what these experiences offer us, is the invitation to go there. It's what I try to do when I do my ghost tours. I try to encourage people to go to that place themselves, to intuit, to feel, to sense with some other sense than the one that we often will approach life with in our day-to-day lives. And when we do that, interesting things happen.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how far back it goes, too. Like you said, Edith Wharton was dealing with this, but this is also a modern-day issue, people trying to, you know, figure out what ghosts are, how they came to be, and, you know, trying to rationalize it away, but realizing, you know, maybe there is something more out there that I just can't explain.
Yes, and I think that it's okay that we don't know. I think the mystery is, I mean, for me, the mystery is a huge part of it, is just the awareness that there are experiences that we can't really know in that way, in that usual way. And just be aware of that, just be alive in that. I think that's a generally a good way to approach things.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, so good to go in with skepticism, like you say. So,
sure.
If something happens, you don't just, like, think, oh, okay, this is automatically a ghost. But when you really can't explain it, it makes it so much greater than, you know, anything you could imagine when you do go in there with skepticism.
Yeah. And I, one of the things, I remember doing a ghost tour at the Mount with a group of scientists who had gone, they all worked together at this one company in the Berkshires, and they were coming on like a kind of a group, team building kind of thing, you know, and they all decided to come for a ghost tour. And they told me right at the beginning, they said, you know, we don't believe in ghosts and we don't think any of this is real. And we just want you to know that we're going to debunk everything you say. And I was like, okay, well, that's nice. I said, but you know what, just, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. And I'm not, I really don't try to sort of prove anything to anyone. I really just try to encourage experience and by listening to stories and feeling a place out, just kind of getting a sense for the place and just see what happens. So I said that to them, and we went on the tour. And sure enough, at the beginning, it was like everything I was saying, they were like, well, you know, if you just do this, you could do, you know, and they were trying to debunk everything. And but by the end of the tour, they got pretty quiet. And then a couple of them approached me after the tour, and they were like, you know what? I don't really know if I know what's going on here, but there's something about this place. And I was like, yep, that's good. That's fine. That's all right. Well, you know, I don't need you to believe in ghosts. Just that you feel that there's something here, a presence of something.
Nothing builds
some
up,
kind of thing.
Nothing builds up a team like throwing people in a haunted location.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that is amazing, though. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Today, our guest, ghost tour host, author, teacher, storyteller, and songwriter, Robert Oakes. Everyone visit robertoakes.net, Instagram at Robert Oakes Writer, YouTube search Robert Oakes. Robert Oakes titled Ghosts of the Berkshires, the Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires, and Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey are available through Amazon.com. As Robert mentioned, he's currently writing Ghosts of the Northeastern Berkshires, so visit robertoakes.net. It's the Ghost of the Show on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm unmuting everybody now. Feel free to call in, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 for the late edition of the show. There's Mallory Knox is in the chat room. I'm thinking that sounds familiar. That's one of the natural born killers. So that's if you have any questions in the chat room, make sure that they're all caps and we can get them into the show. And Robert and Sophia, you're back on.
Right. Thank you so much again for having me on today, Robert.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So I know in the paranormal, it's a lot to sift through. I mean, not only evidence, but, I mean, researching locations. And with you writing books, and especially on such historical locations such as the Mount, what is your process for researching the locations you're going to write about?
I mean, it does depend on the location. You know, because in some cases you have very, very, like I'm interested in very old stories as well as recent experiences and reports. Part of the reason why I love old stories is because the places themselves very often are ghosts, right? They don't, like I found this a lot in New Jersey, the places don't exist anymore. And all that we have are these stories about places that aren't there that you can't even find. But these echoes come to us from, you know, from far away in history. These voices, you know, and these experiences from long ago. So sometimes it's a dive into the newspaper archives to dig up some really old, reports and stories about different locations. Sometimes it's There's lots of other books that have been written or blogs or articles. You just kind of look around to see what the buzz is, like where are the places that seem to get the most attention, just to, as a beginning to kind of like get a lead on a particular place. But for me, the gold standard always is go there,
mm-hmm.
see it, you know, and hopefully have an experience, talk to people, you know, find out what people themselves have experienced. But there's nothing like having an experience of your own. And sometimes it's not maybe what you set out to look for. Like, you don't always find a ghost, right? But in the process of searching for a ghost or seeking the story, some really fascinating and, you know, things can come together in really interesting ways that kind of lead you on a journey. So I love that. I love just kind of diving in and just, you know, going on that journey looking for the ghost. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, when you dig around and talk to people, I feel like you find so much information that you can't find in a library or, you know,
yeah.
online. Like you said, I mean, the stories from the people, whether it's passed down from their family member or something they experienced firsthand, you really find out so much you would have never expected.
You would never have known. And you can't replace that. So there was this one place in the Berkshires called the Knox Trail Inn, great historic mm-hmm. old inn that's connected to the look, to the sort of the history of Henry Knox and his during the Revolutionary War, dragging cannons across from Ticonderoga off to Boston to defeat the British. And so this place is kind of tied into that lore and that history. And you can find online, you can find stories written about it, articles in different places, books and so forth. And I did some of that, but I was like, there's more to this story. Like, there's gotta be. And so I just went there one day. I wasn't announced. I didn't call anyone. I just showed up and went into the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's now mostly a bar. They used to have like rooms upstairs where you could sleep. But now it's just the bar downstairs and the rooms upstairs are empty. And I just basically walked in and said, can anyone here tell me about your ghosts? You know, and as it happened, I did not plan this, but the family who owned the place from the late 70s until the later 80s were there having a family reunion after years of not being there, right? They just happened to be
mm-hmm.
gathering there for this family reunion. And they were like, well, you have some time, you know? And they sat me down. And they proceeded to tell me all of these experiences that they'd had while living there. They then took me upstairs and showed me the rooms where it happened and, like, pointed out different locations and different experiences that they'd had. They gave me the phone number of their mother who wasn't there, but she was out in California or somewhere. I could call her and get her stories. Now, I could not have planned that. I could not have hoped for a better, way to sort of get the experiences by just happening to run into people
mm-hmm.
who lived there and had so many experiences. So that was really wonderful. And that's the kind of thing that, like, you can't really plan. You kind of just have to throw yourself in and be led to those experiences.
Absolutely. I had that once on the Queen Mary. I was talking to the ship's captain, and we were talking about deaths on the ship, and I found out about one in the pool area that I had never found out about. Because, you know, as the ship's captain, he has to know everything, even if it happened forever ago. And so it's just interesting, all the stories, you know, that you may never have heard of until you actually talk to someone who, you know, lived there or experienced it or has to know everything
Absolutely.
About the location.
Absolutely. And I think that is absolutely something that needs to be preserved. When I was working on the New Jersey book, I came across the writings of this man named Henry Charlton Beck, who was a folklorist and an Episcopal priest who lived in New Jersey. He was from New Jersey, and he lived there and wrote about the lore of New Jersey for decades. And it used to be published in the New York Times, his pieces, and his books have been put together and published by Rutgers. And I just stumbled on his writings. And I was so happy to come across these things because he preserved in his writings so many of these old stories. He would go around himself and just talk to people and write down the things they said in their own voice, like in their own words. And it's not the kind of stuff you're going to find in most history books. It's the kind of stuff mm-hmm. that can really only be gathered by going to talk to people and like being very faithful about just writing down what they say. And, you know, very often you get from people those kinds of experiences that tend to get like weeded out from the history books, but people have them. You know, people have these experiences. They have these stories to tell. And you need to go and talk to them in order to hear them often.
Absolutely. I just think it's really amazing what you do preserving that with the paranormal in mind, because I really do. I think it's so fascinating, just the history and the paranormal and how far back it goes. I mean, during Victorian times, you know, people had such an interest in ghost stories, and I think being able to preserve that through time is really fascinating and amazing.
Yeah, the Victorians were I've been lately doing this thing about Victorian ghost stories. I've been sort of reading ghost stories at Christmas time. I should say Victorian ghost stories at Christmas time. And because that was a huge, that was very popular in the 19th century. They loved telling ghost stories at Christmas time. And it's great to bring that tradition back. I mean, not only because it involves ghosts, but also because it involves people sitting together and sharing stories, which I think we desperately need more of today, because so much of our experience is so solitary and online, you know?
Absolutely. With all the cool locations that you've been to, where is one location, if you could go anywhere in the world, that you would love to research and investigate?
Oh, that's a really good question. Huh. I mean, there was a place that I was at a couple summers ago. I spent a summer at in England at Oxford, and I was there to study, but I wasn't there. There was this ghost tour that they offered, and I kept missing it. So I never went on the ghost tour. But I did meet a man there who writes about Oxford ghosts, and he told me some things. And I would love to go back and, like, sort of there with that in mind, like that I'm there to kind of look for the ghosts and look for the stories and talk to people. Because it's such a beautiful city. It's such an old city. And, God, there's got to be it's got to be teeming with ghosts, right? And pretty interesting ones, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just crazy, the history over in England. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the ghosts here in the Victorian times and people doing that. But, I mean, in England, it far surpasses anything that's old in America.
Absolutely. You walk down this one street, there's this tower standing there that was built in the 900s, right? It's like,
yeah,
that's old. We don't have anything like that. So just to look around and see those things around you, it just brings it to mind, all of the history and the people that once lived there. You can kind of feel that presence because those objects are there. You know, you can stand in them. So it becomes much easier to feel the presence.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of, you know, kind of old stuff in America, didn't you get a chance to go check out Sleepy Hollow and Washington Irving's grave?
Well, I have been there. I did a this goes way back. This was actually before I was doing anything specifically about the paranormal. I used to do travel writing for AAA, and I did do a piece on Sleepy Hollow, and on that old cemetery. I walked around there and the old Dutch Reformed Church. You know, what's interesting about Sleepy Hollow is that at that time, the Halloween events that they were doing were actually pretty simple. It was just somebody reading the story at the church, and, you know, there was a little sort of walk through the cemetery. What's happening at Sleepy Hollow now, it's grown quite a lot. It's a huge production, and they have a lot of different events going on there. But at the heart of it, of course, is the stories that Washington Irving told about the place, and just again the feeling of that place, being near the river the way it is, and being such a part of early American history, it's a special location for sure.
Absolutely. It's really cool just to see, like you said, the ghost stories that people used to share back in the day really live on, and just them being changed through time. I mean, like you said, it was just a small reading when you went there, but now it's a much bigger production, and just to make it fun for the newer generations is really nice to see.
Yeah, it's definitely become a hugely popular location, similar to like Salem, I think, in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
Where you have at its core, you know, the history, and you have those experiences, and you, in the case of Sleepy Hollow, you have the stories, but then what grows around that becomes a phenomenon unto itself, you know. You know, one of the things that I find doing ghost tours, now I do them at the Mount, but I've also started doing them at another Gilded Age mansion in the Berkshires called Ventford Hall, is that the experience of doing the ghost tour, sort of like, and the interest that it tends to draw, and the people coming to the place, it actually begins to create or expand upon the initial phenomenon, and the stories grow, the experiences grow. Mm-hmm. You get this feeling that whatever the presence is in the house is kind of like almost just expanding to, you know, to sort of in, around all of this interest and activity. And it does really kind of take on a life of its own.
Absolutely. And with you saying you're doing tours at another Gilded Age mansion, have you seen kind of an uptick in people wanting to go there with it, like shows like HBO's The Gilded Age? And I believe there's another one that starts with a G, but I can't think of right
yeah.
now. But just
yeah,
the interest in that time period.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, there's definitely been more of an interest in the Gilded Age in recent years. I think there's more of an understanding of what that period of history was and who lived during that time. I think, like, when you live in the Berkshires, you're aware of it all the time because these houses are still there. These big mm-hmm. mansions were being built during the Gilded Age. And of course, all of them now have taken on new lives. They have one of them is Canyon Ranch, the health resort. You know, one of them is a restaurant. You know, another one, and then several of them are museums. So they're no longer what they once were, but they still stand there as very much a reminder of this time in Berkshire history when these houses were being built and these people were living there. But you may not, just by seeing them, you may not know who these people were or what their lives were like. So you watch a show like that and you get a much deeper sense of what the lives were. And that also, I think, grows the appreciation of what Edith Wharton was doing, because her writing is very much about mm-hmm. that time period and those people. And in fact, I'm still holding out for a biopic. If anyone is out there producing movies, I think that a biopic about Edith Wharton, it's time for that, because I think her life was absolutely fascinating, and I think it would make for a great story in that same vein.
Yeah, that's actually what kind of grew my interest in, you know, historical manners and just people of that time period, was actually watching Apple TV's Dickinson. These people just really have fascinating lives, so I think
yes.
the biopic of Edith Wharton or anyone would just be so interesting to see more about them, because Emily Dickinson, although, you know, they took some creative liberties, I was like looking up and researching, is this true? Is this real? And it's fascinating to read about all of it.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily something that you get from reading their works. You can kind mm-hmm. of like maybe get some of that, but to actually see what their lives were like, gives you just a greater understanding of what they were doing, what they were creating, and the content, like the circumstances they were living in that led to their work. I mean, I think I feel a much deeper appreciation of what she was doing by working at the Mount and hearing more about her life and just feeling, like I said, the being in the place and just imagining what it would have been like to be her at that time. It really helps you to appreciate the work a lot more.
Yeah, and I remember I read on Twitter one time that I think Charles Dickens and Hans Christian Andersen had, like, well, Charles Dickens had, like, beef with Hans Christian Andersen. So it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's really crazy, too, like, how interconnected the lives were. You
yeah.
may not piece together, like, who was exactly alive during what person's time period, but just how
right.
much these big authors were around each other.
and how much they influenced one another. There's another location in the Berkshires called Arrowhead, which is where Herman Melville lived and wrote Moby Dick. And for a period of time, Nathaniel Hawthorne, who wrote The Scarlet Letter and The House of Seven Gables, also lived in the Berkshires. They were there at the same time. They became very good friends, and Hawthorne would go over to Melville's house. He had his own little room off the side of Melville's writing room, and he would kind of stay there with him, and they would kind of just talk shop and inspire one another. And what a how cool would that have been to just sort of sit there and listen to that conversation, you know?
Yeah, and I read online, I think Nathaniel Hawthorne was next door neighbors with a young Louisa May Alcott at one point.
Yeah, so there's an over in the Concord area, right? There's that sort of transcendentalist circle of writers that Hawthorne was a part of, in and out of. But yeah, the Alcotts were there too, and they all sort of knew each other. And so just to kind of like be, just to kind of get an echo of that, you know, the sort of the spirit that still lingers there. And that's, you know, we talk about ghosts. I mean, I think of ghosts in that way as well. I think of it as charged experiences that you could still feel, that there's a lot of creative inspiration. A lot of artists are drawn to the Berkshires for the same reason. I think that it's kind of like an electrical current in the air that you can tap into. And I think sometimes we experience it like ghosts, and sometimes we experience it like, you know, the inspiration to write a book about a whale, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they have a lot in common.
Absolutely. It is just incredible, just all of it and the history, like you said. I can't believe how fast the hour went by, though. Have to have you back on in the future. But please let the audience know where they can find you, any upcoming books, or anything you would like to mention.
Sure. So the best thing to do, I would say, is to go to my website. It's robertoakes.net. There is a silent E in my last name, so it's O-A-K-E-S. So it's robertoakes.net. And from there, you can link out to all the different things. But I do have Ghosts of the Berkshires out, Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires, Young Readers version. Then there's Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey, and I'm currently working on Ghosts of Northeastern New Jersey. And I do ghost tours. I have audiobooks available. So all of that you can find on my website at robertoakes.net.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Robert. It's been great talking to you and getting to hear all of your stories. Like I said, we'll have to have you back on soon. But thank you again.
Thank you, Sophia.
Wow, fantastic show. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, thanks. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic show today, Sophia. Totally. The hour flew by.
Absolutely. Robert was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and regarding Robert's work, too, as he mentioned, Robert Oakes, .net, so it's a .net. So Robert with a Oakes with an E in Oakes. So robertoakes.net, Instagram at Robert Oakes Writer, YouTube search Robert Oakes, Robert Oakes titles, Ghosts of the Berkshire, the Ghostly Tales of the Berkshires, and Ghosts of Northwestern New Jersey, available through Amazon.com. As he mentioned, Robert is currently writing Ghosts of Northeastern Berkshires, so definitely visit robertoakes.net to keep updated. Next weekend, we have Texas Ghost Seekers team founder and clairaudient Alex Fountain. That's the 13th. Weird New Jersey contributor and paranormal investigator Jim Paris returns to the show on the 20th. And we have other guests that are securing their dates as we speak. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporoli, online paranormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests real time. And a happy new year, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Seon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporoli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.